What happens when the world seems to be falling apart and you feel powerless to stop it? You scroll through another news cycle, heart sinking with each headline. Your chest tightens. Maybe you freeze, retreating into Netflix and distraction. Maybe you rage post on social media, feeling righteous for a moment before the hollowness returns. Or maybe you just feel numb. Here's the uncomfortable truth. These automatic reactions, fight, flight, or freeze, aren't actually helping anyone, least of all yourself. Their survival mechanisms are nervous systems developed for immediate physical threats, not the chronic, complex crises of modern life. When these stress responses become our default mode of existence, we end up isolated, exhausted, and despairing, exactly when the world needs us most engaged. But there's another way forward, one that transforms how we show up for the struggles that matter. We imagine strength as rigid clenched fists, immovable resolve. But consider water. It doesn't fight obstacles, it flows around them. It appears soft, yet carved the Grand Canyon. This is the strength that sustains meaningful change, flexible, persistent, adaptive. When attorney Addie Barkin was diagnosed with ALS at 32, he channeled his experience into healthcare advocacy, becoming one of the most powerful voices for reform precisely because of his vulnerability. His strength wasn't about denying pain or powering through, it was about letting it flow into purpose. After the Parkland shooting, Samantha Novick organized one of the largest youth-led marches in history. It feels good to not just sit there and stare at the hole. It feels good to do something. This is agency. The moment we stop merely feeling bad and start breathing life into our values through action. Anger is a signal emotion, a bodyguard for deeper wounds, alerting us to violations of dignity and justice. The challenge isn't whether to feel anger, but how to work with its energy without being consumed. Immigration lawyer Heather Yuntz describes it like holding a hose that's running on full blast. If you're able to hold on to it, you're doing great. But the second you loosen your grip, it just goes all over the place. Learning to hold that hose steady transforms anger from destructive force into focused power. Mark Solomon spent 15 years working on marriage equality, initially fueled by rage after coming out. Through meditation, he discovered his anger covered a deeper passion for creating a better world for LGBTQ youth. By investigating anger with curiosity, he found stamina for the long haul. Some problems are more than a one-generation fix. When we connect to this larger perspective, immediate wins and losses matter less than whether we've been wholehearted and fully present. Some things just hurt. A young soldier returned from Iraq with severe trauma, extreme startle reflexes, hypervigilance, inability to trust. Initially diagnosed as PTSD, everything shifted when someone observed he's grieving. His symptoms became expressions of heartbreak for the person he'd been, for innocence lost. Writer Martin Prechtel suggests grief is praise because it is the natural way love honors what it misses. After 9/11, the Dalai Lama's simple statement, "It happened," provided profound relief by acknowledging reality without rushing past it. Real change is born when we truly touch our sadness. As we respond to our own suffering with presence and compassion, our capacity to respond to others' pain increases exponentially. Resilience isn't about never feeling pain. It's about facing it courageously without falling apart. The Parkland survivors describe their trauma as gaping holes that never disappear, but become smaller through purpose and connection. What transforms our relationship to pain isn't the pain itself, but how we hold it, with enough spaciousness that we don't collapse into it, with enough light to surround the darkness.
Activist culture often glorifies martyrdom, making self-care feel selfish. But your happiness isn't selfish. It's the wellspring that sustains your efforts. Addie Barkan, living with ALS, finds strength in cherishing moments like his son's hug, holding on to precious beauty to persevere. The civil rights movement understood this. People didn't march sobbing, they marched singing. Building resilience requires balance, alternating between facing pain and finding ease. a friend couldn't enjoy eating a banana because of his awareness of exploitation in food production. This scrupulosity, pathological obsession with morality, had become paralyzing. True compassion isn't sharing others' suffering until you drown in it. It's the quivering of the heart in response to seeing pain, followed by a movement toward to see if we can be of help. Notice the distinction: movement toward, not into. Compassion requires boundaries and including yourself in the circle of care.
We constantly categorize people as other: the homeless person, someone of a different race or religion, anyone outside our narrow us. Yet these divisions are constructions. A tree appears distinct, but exists through countless relationships: soil, water, sun, fungi networks. Our lives are similarly interdependent. Thich Nhat Hanh's Interbeing reveals how all phenomena inter-are. Just as a cloud is essential for paper to exist, everything connects. We make split-second judgments based on superficial differences, unconsciously activating stereotypes, evolutionary threat assessment creating rigid boundaries. Neuroscience shows that dissolving our clinging to rigid self-other distinctions decreases contraction-related brain activity, creating expansion. George Mumford, who teaches mindfulness to NBA players, emphasizes the dynamic tension between the me and the we, being yourself while part of something greater. True teamwork emerges recognizing others are just like me, wanting happiness, experiencing frustration, making mistakes. This recognition doesn't erase real differences or excuse injustice. It reveals our shared humanity.
How do you keep your heart open when the news feels relentless? The answer is equanimity. Not indifference, but dynamic balance born from wisdom. Think of a gyroscope. It maintains perfect balance not through rigid stillness, but through a powerful spinning core that allows graceful self-correction. We need a strong center of meaning and purpose that grounds us through changing circumstances. James Baldwin captured this perfectly. We must simultaneously accept life as it is, without rancor, while refusing to accept injustices as commonplace, fighting them with all our strength. This fight begins by keeping our own hearts free of hatred and despair. The Buddha described life's inevitable 8 worldly winds: pleasure and pain, gain and loss, praise and blame. Equanimity is dignity amidst change, maintaining presence even in turmoil. When asked how he crossed the flood of suffering, the Buddha replied, "Without lingering and without hurrying, neither sinking by lingering nor being swept away by hurrying." This delicate balance represents equanimity's essence. We can easily get lost in massive statistics about suffering, making our individual efforts seem insignificant. But working to change things for even one person still matters. Like the boy throwing starfish back into the ocean, when told his efforts couldn't make a difference, he throws another one back and says, "I made a difference to that one." The essential spirit of activism is showing up with connection and compassion, finding ever more capacity to love this world, because it will not be healed without that.